You know, there's a phrase in that, fall on your knees, hear the angels' voices. And I think about a contemporary song, it's not new, it's many years old. When I stand in His presence, will I stand? Will I be able to stand at all? Will I fall to my knees? Will I fall to my face? When we come face to face with Jesus, it's going to be an awesome time. And as believers, it'll not be a time of fear, as Leonard was talking about in the Sunday school lesson, a time of joy. It'll be a time of seeing the one that we love. What a precious time it'll be when we stand in the presence of Jesus. I think we may want to fall on our knees and worship Him a little bit. And we get to do that for all of eternity. We're so glad you're here this morning at Barber's Grove. And we pray that you're just blessed. And anybody that's listening in other ways, other times, we're so glad that you've chosen to be a part of the service. Remind you, and I know Leonard will again in a minute, come back tonight at 6 o'clock. It's going to be interesting. And remember, fellowship afterwards. It's always good when we have a little fellowship. And so we look forward to that. Let me give you a little update on my wife. Now, she did have that procedure. Now, I know the medical folks have a fancy name for it, but they just put cement in a couple of fractures in her back, and that seems to have helped her back, but she's still having a lot of pain in her hips. And so they said that this procedure could continue to help improve over a period of a couple of weeks. So just keep praying for me. We do appreciate your concern and your interest and your prayers. We'll see if she feels like well enough to come to maybe, maybe not. You never know when she gets up and starts. Some days she's got, she's got a little bit of energy, and then sometimes she gets up and times she gets dressed, she goes back to bed. So continue to pray for her. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come and think about celebrating Jesus, oh Lord, we do just fall in your presence. For we know that you're here. We want you to know that you're welcome. Welcome here today. We want you to be honored. We praise you and we worship you. We lift up the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. We know that He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and there is no other. And oh, how great we are for the salvation that we have, because Jesus went to the cross and gave His life for us. Father, even as we look at the babe in the manger, not to forget the man on the cross. He had to come as the babe in the manger, but He had to die as the man on the cross for our salvation. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Appreciate it very, very much. And I'm going to say thank you a little bit before I do anything this morning to Elton. I believe in telling people thank you while they still smell the poinsettias. And I want to thank Jeff and Wes for the countless hours they have put in. And we're back live again this morning. And so thank you, guys. God bless. Oh, it will. It will. It will. Want to thank all of you who are here today. And thank you to those who participated in the poinsettias. I mentioned it a while ago. They're beautiful. And so, but if you will, if you want to leave on until next Sunday, you can do that, and you'll pick up everything up Sunday, because it certainly helps to look that Angie has and the guys have already provided for us. And you thank again for beautiful decorations this season. God bless you. All right, let's go on and let's do our hymn sing this morning. Christmas hymn sing is on page 88, and you don't have to do that if you don't want to, right, Jeff? We got it on the board.
That is correct.
Amen. As we all stand, hark the herald angels sing. All three verses, please. one said, amen. Welcome someone this morning, please. All right, I have some announcements for you this morning, and I want to bring you up to date on the donations and how we're doing. Well, the donation to the Baptist Children's Home, is, of course, is over, but we did have a generous donation in the honor of Jerry Kelly from Carol. And Carol, we thank you. We thank you for that so much. You know about the Sunday school classrooms have been moved. You know that. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering is still going, and let's keep up the good work there. Christmas program tonight. I want to talk to you about those of you that's going to have your testimony, or not the testimony, but your best memorable Christmas experience and the song. If you hadn't turned your music in, please do that, because the guys up there, if you got special music, they're going to have to track it and get it done for you. So be sure you do that. Now, if it's just going to be the hymnal, out of the hymnal, the song will be sung out of the hymnal, Brent and I will take care of that if you want it to go congregation. So I believe that's, and then if you want to sing it yourself, that's okay too. We hope you do. So that's where we are. So please come tonight. We're going to have a good time in the Lord tonight, and after that we'll have some fun in the fellowship hall as well. So remember that. Now, a couple things need to bring you up to date on. I've been told that the parking lot is will not be available as far as being able to hear it on the radio, because they had to make some. We had to take something away in order to get what we got, right? But it's temporary, I understand, right, Wes? Okay, so for, just for now, if anybody's in the parking lot, you're not hearing me.
Okay.
Let's see. If it was easy, anybody could do this job. all right. Let's bring you up to date. Also, there'll be no prayer. There will be prayer and Bible study on December the 21st and 28th. So please mark your calendars to that, and that we'll have no Bible study. Up to date, $620 amount given for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering so far. Keep up the good work. And now let's talk about Christmas Day, December the 25th. There'll be no Sunday school that day. No Sunday school. So come at 10 o'clock, and I believe we see here, feel free to wear pajamas. Is that right? Is what you said? Pajama sweatsuit, ugly Christian sweatsuit. Christmas sweater. I got an ugly Christmas sweater. I got one. I'm going to wear that. That'll be all right. I got one of those.
Well, I'll leave the pajama pants and I'll make it.
Okay. So who knows what, but anyway, I guess the best way to say that, come as you are. Come as you are. Be comfortable, right? Okay.
I see people in pajamas in Walmart.
Oh, I do that too. I'll share this with you. This is free at no cost to you whatsoever. But I had to go to Walmart with Donna. I feel like it was combat pay. But I went with her to Walmart the other night, and I saw the crazies were out. That we have them. We have the Walmart crazies. It's a bad place to be right now, and I hate to say that, but it's just crazy. So anyway, be prepared. Be prepared when you go. All right. So let's remember this. Excuse me, Mike. So that'll be ready to go. So let's. I'm in one of those moods. It's all about David and that tie he's got on. No, I love it. That's good. Let's also remember the Boston butt sale. Brother Jeff, you want to speak to that, to where we are?
I got to know by Tuesday, so okay. Please let me know.
I ain't going to have a comment on that one, huh? Okay. In other words, we need to step it up some, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. We'll do that. Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked? I don't see how I could have, but what now? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Love offering today for the pastor, Pastor Ed and Pam today. And there'll be someone at the front door and the back door to take your money. If you may have already turned it in otherwise, but let's remember the love offering today for them. Well deserved, and we want to do that to show our love for them. Okay, anyone else? All right, let's go to the prayer request now that we have this morning. I have some that's already been given to me this morning, and I have, of course, we still need to remember Pam. The pastor's giving you an update with her, but let's keep remembering her. Let's remember Barbara Dry with cancer, the Gary Pinion family, Evelyn Burgess, Scott Evelyn Burgess family. There was some question. Does anyone know for sure? Has she passed? I hate to ask them, but it's true. I don't know. She has not passed. Okay, all right. Okay, so let's just remember Evelyn Burgess, and because we wanted to be sure, we had that. So if you would, please, Kathy. And all right, let's also remember TJ. TJ has leukemia, and let's lift him up before the Lord. TJ, Rosina, you might want to bring us up to date on who he is. Okay. Okay. All right. Anyone else this morning? Yeah, Robert.
Guy I play golf with, his son died, Sam Smith. But remember the family.
The family of Sam Smith?
Well, he really didn't have a family. Jim Smith was his dad.
How's Miss Aunt Birdie, Tonda? I see your hand up, but
she's had some better days, maybe in the last week or so, but very, very confused most all the time.
Yeah.
Very difficult. Not at home and searching for home, and it's,
yes.
It's hard.
Yes. Thank you very much. I have a young friend that wants to come down and have a prayer this morning, and I want him to be able to come and do that. Andon?
I have.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Janice.
Sylvia Turner.
Who now?
Sylvia.
Sylvia. Okay.
Turner.
Yes, I do know her. Yes. All right, Mr. Andon. You, huh? I got it. You going to come down here with me, or are you going to do it there? Did you change your mind? Is there someone you want me to pray for? I can do it for you if you like. You want to do it? You want to do it? I don't want to make you do anything you don't feel comfortable with, okay? But you just have a silent prayer for that person, okay? You can do that for me? Okay? You're a good man. You're a good man. It touches my heart to see young people who feel the need of prayer. Think about that. Think about that one. That's amazing to me at his age that he knows that prayer changes things. And that's good. Yes, Brother Bobby. Baby, yes. I'm sorry, Betty. I didn't see your hand. Thank you, Betty. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it, Betty. Our church does support in prayer. That's why we spend this time each Sunday morning the way we do. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And again, Lord, before I ask you, I want to say thank you. Thank you for this place that we can be, this church that we can be in, and be able to worship your name without fear. As a Sunday school lesson taught us today, in your love there is no fear. And we thank you that for that assurance. But now, Lord, as we go forward today, Lord, I want to lift our church up to you. I pray for our leaders. I pray for the new search committee that is out and about working now for a youth pastor. I pray for them and lift them up to you. Then, Lord, I also want to be thankful, Lord, that we're here today and our pastor Ed is with us today, and we want to lift him up for you as well. We pray for him every single day that God will give him strength and God will give him courage. But then, Lord, there are those, Lord, that we mentioned today that I want to lift to you today. I want to continue praying for Pam as she has gone through procedures and surgery, and she has other procedures ahead. We pray for her, and we ask for your healing for her body. We pray for Barbara Dry, who is dealing with cancer. We pray for her and healing. The Gary Pinion family. We pray for Evelyn Burgess. She's been on our prayer list many times, and we keep praying for her. We pray for TJ, who has leukemia. Lord, we know that you're bigger than any problem. You're bigger than any disease. And we ask for healing for his body as well. We pray for Jim Smith family. And then, Lord, we lift up Aunt Bertie to you, Lord, today. We want to pray for her. And we pray for the family and the caregivers. We pray for them as they minister to her each and every day. We pray for Ann and Kim Hamilton. We lift them up to you today, Lord, as well. And we ask that you would touch them and feel the needs that they have. And then for Sylvia Turner, we pray for her. And we lift her up to you as well today. And then, Lord, as Miss Betty has came today and as she has testified to us, Lord, we're so thankful for Betty. And we ask you continue to bless her. Give her strength and give her the ability to rest and get stronger. And then, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we lift it up to you and all that's said and done. Lord, we want to give you the praise and honor and the glory. We pray for those who support each and every Sunday. We pray for their strength. And Lord, we pray for you give them wisdom and be able to help us all in the time of need. Now go with us again to the rest of this service today, Lord, and we would be so thankful and so mindful to say thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. And it's in your sweet name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We are going to sing another Christmas hymn now at a time of praise. And the time of praise we're going to be singing today is Angels We Have Heard on High. And it's in page 100 or right there. I hope I read this one better than I did that third verse on the other one. It's my fault. My glasses, I guess. No, it's all right. It's working fine. I don't have any complaints at all. Let's all stand, please, and sing Angels We Have Heard on High.
Shepherds, while it's jubilee, while your joy strength.
seated. And children, you are dismissed. It's okay. It's no problem, sir. We'll be fine. Everything worked out just fine. I'm happy.
Seeing Leonard interact with Andon reminds me of how much things have changed in 70 years. Now, when I was a kid, not but a year or so older than he is, I used to walk the 5 or 6 blocks of my house to prayer meeting on Wednesday night by myself. And West Everball had this deal where every Wednesday night we had a contest to see who was old, how many we had younger than 25 and how many that were there older than 25. And you know, sometimes the younger crowd was bigger than the older crowd. I mean, it's just amazing. Now, you don't let a child get out that young and get out and walk anywhere because it's dangerous. And it's just changed so much, and it's sad. It's sad. Well, let's look at some, see if we got some good news. If somebody came to you and said, I've got some good news, you're going to say, well, what kind of good news? Did you get a good report from the doctor? You get a raise? You get married? You going to have a kid? You got some money? What's your good news all about? And you know, good news is not good news if you don't need it. For example, probably, there may be one or two exceptions, but probably if somebody came to anybody in this building right now and said, I'm going to give you $1 million, that'd be good news. Now, to one or two, you may not need it, so it might not be good news. But now, if you go to one of those multi-billionaires, $1 million is probably not very much good news. I mean, they win that much and lose that much in the stock market in a single day. But what about good news? What about good news? There's a passage of Scripture that we often read and make it, it's a part of the Christmas story. It's in the Old Testament. It's got good news. But mostly, we just deal on the good news part, and we don't look at why it is good news. And so, if you will, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, and we want to look at why the good news is the good news. Why the good news is the good news. Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee in the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now, think about those verses for a few moments. Isaiah is prophesying certain things that are to come. One, he's prophesying blessing over Zebulun and Naphtali, which is Galilee. He's saying something special is going to happen. Said, before time, you haven't been counted as much, but out of you, something special is going to happen. Do you remember when Jesus was born and when he was baptized? And they go to this young man and they say, come meet the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And what does he say? Can any good come out of Nazareth? You remember on another occasion when confronted with the Pharisees, and some Pharisee was standing up for Jesus, the Pharisee says, go and search the scripture, for you'll find that no prophet ever comes out of Galilee. Oops. If they knew their history, I think Amos and a couple of others came out of Galilee. But here this plainly says, God's going to bless out of Galilee. God's going to bless out of Galilee. And notice he says, the people that lived in darkness or walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. You ever read a story? It might have been just a fiction story. It might have been a true story. Somebody's lost in a snowstorm. They think they're about to die. And suddenly they see over here so far a light in a window. And they know that if they can just make it across that pasture, or if they can just make it that much further down the road, there's going to be safety. And here he talks about, the prophet talks about people living in darkness. People living in a way that they are groping about. I don't know how much study you've done of world religions, especially some of the more ancient ones. In the last week or two, there's been the news about the volcano erupting in Hawaii and the lava flowing everywhere, you know, and endangering people's lives. What would people have done a few hundred years ago? They'd have gone, sacrificed a couple of young virgins, threw them over the pit into that to appease the gods that were destroying their land. Or maybe a couple of warriors. That's darkness. That's darkness. And as you study so many of the world religions, you see the evil and the hate and the different types of things that are people walking in darkness. And folks, I see enough darkness in my daily news on my phone to just hurts. To see the ignorance, the foolishness, the darkness of what some people believe and what some people say. He says, in a time of darkness, the people are going to see a great light. And praise the Lord, it happened. Praise the Lord, it happened. He also goes on to say, they live in the shadow of death. You know, people living in sin are living in darkness. They're controlled by the devil. They're controlled by their passions. They're controlled by evil. People living that way see life as hopeless and helpless, and they know no way out. And how sad it is to see people who are living in darkness, and yet there's great joy when the light comes. Great joy when the light comes. And he gives an illustration here. He said, it's the joy like the joy of the harvest, or as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You know, when the year's over, the farming year, and your barn's full, you've got joy. And I mentioned in Sunday school about having 40 quarts of green beans or something in the pantry. You know, back years ago, and I'd be visiting some of my country folks, and along about this time, well, you know, October or so, and some of my church ladies, they'd say, "I want you to come see." And they'd take you to the basement, or they'd take you to the pantry, and it's just crammed full of canned beans and canned tomatoes and canned this and that and the other. You know, they were excited about the harvest. They were excited about the harvest. And you remember when he talks about the spoil, how many times when a battle was over, the Israelite soldiers would go in and there'd be gold and silver and clothes and weapons and, okay, you take this and I'll take that and you'll take this. Great joy. You know, one of the greatest times was when three enemy armies were going to attack Israel. And the king, and they prayed and they fasted, and finally they send out the choir in front of the soldiers, and the enemy armies begin to fight one another. Two of them turn on one and kill him, and then that two begin to fight, and soon everybody's dead, and the children of Israel just go over there and they've got three armies full of stuff to divide. Joy. Great joy when they come to understand and to have all the good stuff. Great joy, great joy. And then he says, well, in verse 3, he talks about joy, joy in the harvest. Joy is when men divide the spoil. And then he says, it's good news because thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor is the day of Midian. You remember Gideon, when his 300 soldiers routed an army of 110,000 Midianites. Great joy. Great joy. But chains broken. You remember what Jesus said, and it's so precious. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls." I don't know your background. For some of you who were like I was, saved it as a kid, I didn't have any drug addictions or alcohol addictions to overcome. But there were still things that were chains around me. And some of you know what it is to have chains around you, chains of sin, chains of bad habits, chains of discouragement, loneliness. And he says, Jesus breaks those chains. Set you free. Set you free. He said, their chains have been broken. The chains have been broken. The staff has been broken. You know, it's good news to know. The devil's power over you is broken. Flip Wilson, "The devil made me do it." It's a lie. If you're a child of God, the devil can't make you do anything. You can choose to do some things, but the devil can't make you do that. And several times in the New Testament, it says something like this: resist the devil and he will flee from you. You stand up and say, "No, in the name and in the blood of Jesus, we're not going there, devil." And he will flee. He can't cross, he can't overpower the name of Jesus. He can't cross the blood of Jesus. God wouldn't have told us that if it were not true. Oh, what a joy it is to know that the devil's power over us is broken. Oh, I know he tempts. And he tempts, and he tempts, and he lures. And he tries to get us to compromise. And he tries to get us to do just one step. I mean, you know, it won't be so bad if you'll just do this much. Because if he knows he gets us to do this much, then maybe we'd go this far and this far, and before we know it, we've fallen flat of our face. But if at that very first temptation we say, no, no, we're not going there, devil. He has to flee. And that's a joy to know that his chains over us are broken. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You see, the good news is God delivers us from our darkness, from our chains, from our deadness, from our sin. And the devil's power is broken. We can choose to do right. God's our heavenly Father. We're on our way to heaven. We've got all kinds of blessings because of who we are. And now let's look at the part that we usually read at Christmas. That's a part of the Christmas story. Verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal, the burning passion of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's why all of those things of the deliverance and the darkness and the chains and everything, all of that is possible because of Jesus. Now, Isaiah simply prophesied a son is given, a child is born. He didn't know the name Jesus, but we know the name Jesus. We know who Jesus is. He didn't know it. He could only prophesy what the Spirit revealed to him. And so he prophesied a child, a son. We know now that that's Jesus. He also said, notice some things about him. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Complete dominion. Complete control. Only the Father tells Jesus what to do. Remember, there's a scripture. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Not some knee, every knee. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that he is King of kings and Lord of lords to the glory of God the Father. Complete dominion. I realize there's a group of people in this world that believe that the devil is going to win at the end. Sorry, they're going to be disappointed. There's some folks that think it's still up in the air. You know, it might be the devil, it might be God, Jesus. No, they're going to lose too. Jesus has complete dominion. The government is upon his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Whatever you need, Jesus meets that need. How many times have we needed counseling? And it's good sometimes if we get counseling from family, friends, pastor. But oh, how sweet it is when the Holy Spirit just speaks to our heart. Maybe we're discouraged. Maybe we're puzzled. Maybe we're seeking direction. There's no counselor like the Holy Spirit. And it's just amazing how many times, and I'm no different because I'm a pastor than you, how many times when I'm getting discouraged, the Holy Spirit just says, okay, I've had enough of this, son. You need to start thinking differently. And he'll start reminding me of scriptures that are a blessing. He'll start reminding me of things that God has done for me in the past. He'll start reminding me of other things. There's no counselor like the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus told us in John 14, the Holy Spirit brings to mind those things that have already been told to us in the scriptures. And the more scripture you know, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to counsel you. He said, He's the mighty God. We need to remember that ever so often. When it looks like the world is falling apart, when it looks like everything is going wrong, we need to remember He is the mighty God. And He will not be defeated. That He spoke it, and it will be done. That He's the everlasting Father. Oh, how sweet it is to know a Father's love. Some people never know that. But those who do, it's special. And you as fathers and grandfathers, you know how special it is to love on those grandkids. It's special. He's your everlasting Father. He's not up there with a big old baseball bat waiting to hit you upside of the head whenever you mess up. He's like that father that sees the kid or the grandkid come running, and he's ready for that kid to just jump and grab and hold and love. For God so loved that He gave. He gave. He loved. He's the everlasting Father. And He's the Prince of Peace. Several times in the Sunday school lesson this morning, Leonard alluded to the fear of dying. None of us wants to go through the process. But hey, Paul says, I've been there. To live is Christ, but to die is even better. There's a peace. There's a peace we can have knowing we're forgiven. There's a peace we have knowing that we have brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's a peace that we have knowing that He's our Father. There's a peace that we have knowing that we can go to Him in prayer and He will answer those prayers. There's a peace in knowing that death is not the end, but just a transition into a place of glory and a time of glory and an eternity of glory. He said He's the Prince of Peace. Also, when Jesus rules and reigns over the world for 1,000 years in the millennium, it's going to be a peaceful world. We can hardly imagine it with all the hate that's going on in our world right now. But there's going to be some peace. Now, at the end of that peace, the devil's going to be turned loose from being in the bottomless pit for a little while, and He's going to stir up some more trouble, and then there's going to be the end, and then it's going to be peace forever. Devil's going to be in a lake of fire with all of his demons and not ever tempt another person another time. Aren't you glad there's going to come a time when you're not, never tempted? Aren't you glad that there's going to be a time when there's never going to be any more sorrow, sickness, trouble, tears? He is the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful joy. He says he rules on David's throne. No, there's not anybody qualified except somebody that came out of the lineage of David. And you can look in the New Testament and you can find two different ways that they trace the Jesus all the way back to David and before. He rules on that throne. And then there will be justice and righteousness for all of eternity. And I love the last phrase that I wrote, or I read. I didn't write it. Isaiah did. Sorry about that. I don't want to take credit for somebody else's work. That's plagiarism. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. My translation, the burning desire. God's on fire to do it. God's on fire to bring light into darkness. God's on fire to bring chains broken. God's on fire to bring everything that we need and all the blessings of life to us through Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Lord. It's good news. And there's a reason it's good news. And if you and I, every so often I just stop to think, thank you, Lord, I was born in America. Thank you, Lord, I was born in Albemarle. Thank you, Lord, that I had a mom that gave me a drug problem, drugged me to West Albemarle Baptist Church every time the doors were open. Thank you that I had good pastors and good Sunday school teachers and Bible school leaders and RA leaders and youth leaders, so that I didn't walk in the darkness that people walk in South America or in Africa or in Asia and some other place. Thank you, Lord. And they need to hear the good news just like we heard the good news. And many of you can say, thank you, Lord, that I grew up in this church, that church, another church. Thank you for my mom, my dad, the others that made sure that I knew about Jesus. Good news. Because the people that walk in darkness see a great light. Those wise men saw a star. They came to find Jesus. What does John say? He is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Good news. Rejoice in that good news today. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do it before it's too late. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and thank the Lord for the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Our Lord, thank you for all that Jesus, thank the Lord for all that he's doing for you, has done for you. You may want to say, Lord, thank you for the church that I grew up in that taught me about Jesus. Thank you for the mom, dad, grandma, grandpa that led me to Jesus. Thank you for that teacher, youth leader that made a difference in my life. Thank you for that pastor that cared about me. And most of all, Lord, thank you for Jesus, the light of the world. The people that walked in darkness saw a great light, and that light was Jesus. Oh, we ought to leave here today just thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. Because we needed this good news. And God saw that we got it. Let's do our part to see that others get it as well. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.